I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Jason, how are you today?
I'm good, guys. How's everything?
Happy Jason, to be working,
good,
right?
Good to hear you, brother.
Well, I'm happy we're going to work some baseball into the baseball talk. I haven't had much of that lately.
Hey, Jason, the transaction window opens at noon for Major League Baseball, and
it does.
Yeah, we had Jesse Rogers on the other day. Now, he wasn't claiming this. He had just said that he had talked to somebody who was a baseball insider and said he was saying, hey, could there be trades? Could there be trades? And he said, no, not really. I don't think it's going to get too crazy. But he said the Indians could have a fire sale. Are you hearing anything on the Indians today?
Well, I mean, they're a team that's very concerned about whether – It has enough operating capital to actually meet payroll. And so if you do the math on that, you would think the Indians would be one of those teams that could be looking to unload some salaries. Now, here's a question for you that teams have raised when I've asked about this. Is there anybody that can actually take on salaries? I don't know. That I think both of those things can be true, but the fact that teams are looking to dump salary doesn't mean they will actually succeed in doing that.
Huh. Wait a minute, Jason, should we operating?
Go ahead. You're going to ask.
Yeah, operating capital to make payroll. What are we doing here?
Well, we've just gone through a big debate between players and owners about whether owners are actually losing money, and I understand the debate. There's no doubt that owners can recoup their money. Players never get their money back. They never get their time on the field back. So at some point, 2, 3, 5, 10 years from now, the Indians will be whole again. But in the meantime, I was told that these clubs have had to borrow $2.4 billion just to operate. So you can understand the distinction, right? That is real debt, and it's a factor in their lives that they all have to deal with. And I think it's safe to assume that the Indians are one of those teams that has borrowed a lot, has had no revenues like for 3 months, and isn't sure if it can meet payroll. Now, I don't know what the ramifications of that are going to be. This is going to be a fascinating day and a fascinating next few days and a fascinating month for all those reasons.
Yeah, I think the last time I heard that in Cleveland, the Cleveland Barons were still playing in the NHL, and we were wondering if we were going to be able to drive out to the Coliseum because they were worried about those guys getting paid. Is there a for sale sign then up big and bold on the corner of Carnegie and Ontario? That's a legit problem. I mean, look, everything's always for sale, Jason. Everything is. But is there now a sign out in front of Progressive Field saying for sale?
You're talking about players. You're not talking about the franchise, right?
Yeah, I'm a little bit talking about the franchise.
I don't think the franchise is for sale, no.
Okay, all right.
Well, I think some players could be essentially for sale. I don't think that by dinner tonight Francisco Lindor is going to get traded. Ken Rosenthal in his column today in The Athletic raises the question of whether teams would be willing to give up what the Indians would want for somebody like Lindor in a season where, like, frankly, because of the virus, we don't have any assurance that they'll get through the season or that they'll even be a postseason. It's a good point.
Right.
But, I do think the Indians are a team that would be looking to trim payroll in whatever way that's possible. I don't know which way that's possible right now, but I'm sure they have made other teams aware that it's something they would be interested in doing. But they're not alone.
Jason Stark with us from The Athletic. What about how you view this team? There is a trade deadline, end of August, if this thing gets up and running July 23rd, 24th, like MLB wants to. But you look at the Indians on the field, and what do you like?
Well, this is a talented team, and I think pitching depth is going to be huge in a season like this. It's still the strength of the Indians. The other thing that I looked at the other day when I was trying to analyze the schedule is, like, the Indians have one of the easiest schedules in baseball. Just look at their division and look at the teams they're going to be playing this year. They're only going to play, I believe it was four teams all year that had a winning record last season. And, like, that, things could change. I mean, the White Sox, you would figure, are going to be better. The NL Central looks like it's pretty good top to bottom. But, I think the Indians are in really good shape in terms of trying to claim at least a wild card spot. I think the Twins have a chance to be super good. But we don't know how anything is going to play out in a season like this, because one thing you know about a 60-game season, it's going to be aberrational and it's going to be weird.
Quick question for you. Tony Clark kind of alluded that the negotiating window could still be open for these teams. Is there a chance we could see more teams in the playoffs? I mean, do you feel like the window's open to kind of maneuver some stuff?
I mean, yeah, we've heard that. If they were to wind up making that deal, it kind of makes you wonder what were they doing last week when they couldn't make a bigger deal? Obviously, it's important to the union to retain the right to file a grievance. But there are advantages to both sides in expanding the postseason. And, again, especially in a season like this, just in terms of money, like, owners would get an infusion of cash of $100 million plus. That money is not arriving in their checking accounts any other way. So that is huge incentive right there to continue to talk about that. And I'm assuming that players would want some piece of the postseason pie, whereas right now the only piece they would get is from attendance, and there might be none of that. So there's a reason to continue talking. I just question whether this is something that Major League Baseball is willing to negotiate if that grievance is still in play, because that was a huge hang-up just a few days ago.
When we're talking about trying to get these guys on the field, and of course there's going to be a spring training, a lot of intra-squad games because you can't really do spring training games. From the players' perspective, how worried are they about getting back out there? I know that they've said, when and where, we just want to play. But as far as the virus goes and everything that the teams are kind of providing them, Jason, what are players saying about their safety and their health and everything else?
Hey, I've been in touch with numerous players who are very concerned about this. And, that concern takes many different shapes and forms depending on whether they consider themselves to be at high risk, whether they have family members they would consider to be at high risk, or just in general, whether they're concerned about their teammates or the ability of people outside their inner circle to be safe. I've talked to Terry Francona, for instance, several times during this whole period, and one of the things that he said he's talked to players over and over about is, whoever handles this the best is going to wind up having the most success. And I agree with this, because if you start thinking about the health and safety protocols, I've been reading this morning again, trying to get through all 101 pages, and it's pretty clear that every player has to do everything right every day. But then that's not enough, because it's not just them. It's every staff member, right? Everybody in the front office. It's every member of the training staff. It's when they travel. It's every hotel worker. It's every airport worker. Baseball is not going to be in a bubble, right? So players are going to go home at night when they're at home. who are they going to come in contact with when they're away from the ballpark? And what have those people been doing? Everybody has to do everything right. And then you know what? Then they have to do everything right again the next day and the next day and the day after that. And one thing that's not clear is what is the standard for when a team has to shut it down or the league has to shut it down? There's 101 pages worth of protocols. It's not in there. So there's a lot to be concerned about.
Hey, listen, in a 60-game season, I got to tell you that in a town where we say in Tito we trust, I feel really good about our manager.
Very good.
And having Terry Francona here in this kind of a situation. Should I feel that way? And is that an advantage for the Indians and Indians fans and the players themselves? I just think he's just so smart about the game. And
yeah,
this
I
could
don't
be
think there's
a
any doubt
big
about
help.
That. You know, like every I was talking to a player just the other day, and just I actually recounted a conversation that I just had with you about Tito, because you know I've made the point to him, I made this to everybody that I've spoken with in the game. Leadership is going to be so important right now. Players have to take all of this seriously. I think all these positive tests are an indication they have not been up till now. A lot of them haven't been, and you know, this player said to me, not all managers are like Tito. Like that's true 24/7, every day of every week of every season. It's especially true now. The way he thinks through the game, the way he connects with everybody he comes in contact with, the way that people listen to him and respect him and understand where he's coming from and knows how much he cares about them. Like these are huge qualities that teams are going to need right now. The teams that get it, that have players, core players, leaders in their clubhouse who get it, I think are going to have a big advantage. And the teams whose managers especially get it, doubly true, because this is not a normal season in any way. For one word, we know we can't attach to any of this. Normal.
I mean, we're talking about a roster of 60 at least to start. But if 10, 11, 12 guys test positive, I mean, this could ruin – I'm not saying ruin a franchise, but at least ruin a team for an entire season, and then you could be playing a team that is trotting out minor leaguers for the next 14 days while guys are in quarantine, right?
That's exactly right. And, you know, I've been reading through these protocols. I read through a lot of them the other day. I'm trying to finish them up today, and – there are lots of rules for what happens if a player tests positive. I haven't come across a rule yet for what happens if multiple players on one team test positive. That's a crisis. And it's easy to say, all right, somebody tests positive, we isolate that player, we call somebody up from the taxi squad, we play on. I don't know what happens if the Indians' whole rotation tests positive.
Don't say that.
Right? I mean, right, you know, I don't know what happens
if
the Yankees look up one day and Judge and Stanton and Sanchez have all tested positive, and now they've lost the entire middle of their lineup. You know what I mean? Like, I think there are things you can't anticipate. One of those things is public pressure. There's going to be incredible public pressure to stop if something like this happens. You have dozens of members of coaching staffs, managers and coaches who are considered high risk. I've been reading through just the protocols on them. Like if a player comes to the park and then develops symptoms and tests positive, a high risk member of the coaching staff is not allowed to enter the same room where the player who tested positive may have been for at least 72 hours. I just imagine the ripple effects of one player having that happen.
Yeah.
I mean, this is I want them to play baseball. I want them to get through this. I want there to be a season and a postseason. But when you start reading through the protocols, the challenges are incredible, and that's not just for the Indians. That's for every team.
Jace, last question for you. With some of the rules that are being put in place, like runner at second base for extra innings, and the fact that, you know, for us it's the American League Central against the National League Central, how many of these things could end up sticking somewhere down the road? Like, I could easily see, if we have DH in both leagues, if you were trying to make a case for less travel and and things like that, realignment could be something that would be in the back of my mind. I don't know that you want to mess with that in a game like baseball that's so rich in tradition between the American and National League, but I don't know. I mean, if it works out, and you know, the Indians don't play the Pirates all that often. They, you know, they play the Reds, and it's like, for me, it's closer to get to Pittsburgh than it is to go to Cincinnati, and I always think about this. Realignment yep. could be something they're looking at.
Yeah, the realignment's not a thing this year. There's a regional schedule, but there's not a regional alignment, even though it was kicked around briefly. But realignment is definitely in play long-term if they can get to 32 teams. The point of getting to 32 teams is to rethink everything, including
right.
traditional alignments, maybe even throwing out the National League and American League as we've known it. You know, universal DH, I think it's hard to believe once we get there this year, we're ever going back. I've got a fun piece in The Athletic today looking at all the fun we'd be missing of not seeing pitchers hit from time to time. Bartolo comes to mind, but I can't see that ever going back. And then the extra inning tiebreaker rule, I don't know myself whether I would be in favor of this, but this is a chance to see it and see if we like it. I don't know if I like it. I've only seen it a little bit in the World Baseball Classic. I understand the reason to do it in a season like this when you want to minimize the amount of time that everybody's spending at the park during a pandemic. I kind of love the fun of that 16-inning game where you look up and the shortstop's pitching and one of the pitchers is yeah. playing right field. I would hate to think those moments of baseball are at an end, but we might like this. I don't know. Bring it on.
It'll make it fun. I'll always appreciate Tim Laker, the pitcher, rather than Tim Laker, the catcher. So.
Oh, geez.
Jason, we really, really appreciate your time and love having you on. And not only that, just fans of everything that you write as well. So thank you, Jason. Appreciate it.
Thanks, buddy.
I appreciate it, man. Enjoyed it.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.